Welcome to the Flutracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it's 2:59 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is August 8th, and I thought I'd kick off with Tesla. So, the Inflation Reduction Act was passed by the Senate in the USA over the weekend, and it's going to go to Congress probably on Friday, and it'll pass into law by the end of the week. So, one thing that it did was it reintroduced the $7,500 tax credit for buying an electric vehicle. And Tesla had pretty much aged out of eligibility for that because they'd sold too many, so they'd exceeded the hurdle rate. So one would think that that was good news. And then they also reintroduced the 30% tax credit for solar panels. So you'd think that that was good news for Tesla since they're selling solar roofs and stuff like that. And the share did rally initially and then gave it up by the end of the day. So we'd have to think then that perhaps all of that nice good news might have been already priced in. And one thing that I think is particularly relevant about Tesla is that the trend is not consistent. And any semblance of consistency has been just erased from the market over this year. So we're back inside the underlying range. The breakout has failed. There's a succession of lower rally highs. This is potentially another one. And the price is still on the way lower. So this is still a downtrend. And until we see clear evidence to the contrary, we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the downside. Now, I think perhaps some of the reason why there was less enthusiasm by the close was because of Nvidia. So they came through with earnings. And I think rather than really focusing on what the earnings were, it's more about the guidance. So the share was off by about $10. That's gapping lower. Resistance in the region of the peak from early June. This is still a downtrend overall with a succession of ranges, one below the last. So it would really need to sustain a move up and through 200 in order to begin to question the medium-term downtrend. I think it's particularly important also that Samsung Electronics is also trending down, and this is not so much on the back of business evaporating, but rather they have a glut of memory chips and they're by far the largest producer of those. So the share was also in negative territory in here today, and it's been a lengthy period of underperformance. Well, then let's just think about some of the companies that were really strong last week, like Apple. So we're closing out the day in mildly negative territory, and we're in the region of the peak from back in January through April. Well, I know in my house we bought four new phones at the end of last year, and I was just thinking about my phone today. I'm going to buy another one for at least another 3 or 4 years. So then how many people did the same thing? How many of the massive sales boost that Apple got during the pandemic was from people that suddenly had more money in their pockets because of money coming from the government, and then they just went out and upgraded their handset. And once you've bought an Apple 12 or 13, well, the incremental differences don't really make that much of a difference, and you probably don't need to upgrade it every 6 months. So there's obviously the potential here that we've had a good sized rebound and it may not go very much further. So I think that was rather interesting. Now, when we look at, for example, SunPower, so one of the larger solar companies. It's right in the region of its peak from earlier this year, and it wasn't able to break on the upside in here this week. And then if we look at the solar ETF, well, it was in positive territory, but it's going to have to do better than that in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The big challenge here is that oil prices are high, and historically that would have been enough for the solar sector. There was a good long time, particularly up to the peak in 2008 and 9, when the renewable energy sector moved in lockstep like a high beta play on conventional energy. And that broke down in the intervening decade, and they became the interest the I guess the solar sector in particular became a lot more interest rate sensitive. So when we think about oil, well, it's at the lower side of its range, or close to the lower side of its range, but the reality is there's been a succession of lower rally highs since May and a succession of lower lows as well. So this is really a downtrend. And it's bouncing right now, but it's going to have to at least sustain a move above 110 to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. US natural gas prices were down in a dynamic manner in here today. So down 45 cents, and on the back of some of the warm weather dissipating. Of course, in Europe, it's not quite the same thing. So Dutch natural gas prices were at another new high in here today. And we saw in France that Électricité de France has had their request for some of the environmental rules to be waived for the time being approved. So that will help to boost power supply from up to five of their nuclear reactors. I do wonder, however, when is Europe going to give up on this idea of carbon credits? The price remains elevated. It was the stated objective of officials and bureaucrats in the European Commission to get it up to 100 euro, and it got there earlier this year. It's their stated objective for it to stay up there to encourage higher energy prices so that the transition will be affected. Of course, they weren't really, I think, counting on the potential that Russia was going to invade Ukraine and that there would be massive sanctions put on its production. But what it also helps to highlight is that some of the problems that Europe has are of its own making, and that some of those problems could be ameliorated with the stroke of a pen. So we can anticipate that there are going to be pressures put on the legislative bodies to start to walk back some of the their aggressive advocacy for zero carbon ambitions. We also saw in here today that Reliance Energy, or I guess Reliance Industries, came through with their renewable energy investment package. A lot of it has to do with pioneering demand for, or excuse me, pioneering supply for natural gas. That's going to be the lion's share of the money spent. And we are talking about tens of billions of dollars. So Reliance Industries continues to trend higher in a reasonably consistent manner. Then they're also going to invest some money in syngas. So that's basically reforming fossil fuel into natural gas and potentially using coal to do that. And of course, that is what Sasol used to do in South Africa. And actually haven't looked at Sasol in really quite some time. And well, if we can't find it anymore, because it may not be. Well, there it is, Sol. I was right with the ticker. And so syngas is perhaps a way of getting around some of the objections to diesel. And Sasol is actually trending higher and back in the region of the 200-day moving average. But Reliance Energy Industries will also be building solar farms and pioneering development of hydrogen through their syngas process. So they're spending a lot of money on an energy transformation, but it's very much keyed into Europe's definition of what the green environment is. So that's going to support nuclear and natural gas as green fuels. And it would seem that Reliance is going to play on that. So what we're looking really at for Reliance Industries is regulatory arbitrage. And regulatory arbitrage has been a really successful strategy in Europe for most of the last decade because a lot of the rules around renewable energy are very much focused on ticking legislative boxes rather than doing anything concrete about carbon emissions. When we think, though, about the wider market, well, we're always going to have this question about where are interest rates going to go next. So the 10-year yield had an upside Q reversal last week and then followed through on the upside on Friday in pretty emphatic fashion, but was a little bit softer in here today. So what we're now starting to see is an inverse correlation between yields and prices coming through once more. So when the stock market is a little bit softer, then yields are starting to contract. The S&P is right in the region of the peak from back in May. This is the upper side of this current range, and we have a succession of ranges, one below the last. This is looking like a rather opportune moment to initiate short positions. I spent most of the day talking or putting together a group of options that I wanted to buy, long-dated put options, and I started inputting the orders into my broker screen, and only to find that I hadn't been permissioned to buy options, and I was flabbergasted. So I'll be doing it tomorrow. But the reality here is that we still have an inverted yield curve. Now, it doesn't matter whether the recession has started already or whether it's going to start later, but an inverted yield curve is the best lead indicator for an economic contraction that we have. So we still have strong hiring. There's still a lot of open jobs, but one of the, I think, the big ripples or wrinkles in the statistics is that price pressures are high. People aren't spending, or they're not buying as many items, but they're spending the same amount of money. So that means that consumption of per unit is going down, whereas consumption on a cost basis is the same. So it tends to mask some of the issues. Then we still have high inventory levels. That's one of the big challenges for Walmart, was another challenge for Target. So you have major retailers with significant inventory. And that all points towards less enthusiasm for our, and I guess less ability on the behalf of consumers to buy. And then there's the additional point that inflation is running well ahead of wage growth, so people have less money. And demand for credit is trending higher. So people are now spending more, or they're sustaining their spending by increasing their debt loads. And ultimately, that will have comeuppance. So there's obviously potential here for a pause and consolidation at minimum. We can also look at the fact that just on an RSI basis, we are after trading out of an oversold condition and we're back up in the region of an overbought condition. And This is a lower high. So this is also a the beginning of a divergence between price and the RSI. So there's certainly the potential here that the next surprise will be on the downside. Spent a lot of time over the weekend thinking about gold. And there are times when gold's inverse correlation with the dollar are particularly relevant. We've had negative real interest rates for most of the last decade. And generally, when we have negative real interest rates, gold tends to do well, but not without the dollar also trending downwards. So if we look at the long-term chart of negative real interest rates, and I created this chart by simply taking the Fed funds rate away from, or taking the CPI away from the Fed funds rate. So we can see that the level was negative for the vast majority of the time between about 2009 and now. So that's usually a reasonably benign environment for gold. But the dollar was strong for a good portion of that time, so it sapped demand for gold. So the negative real interest rate environment was enough to sustain gold at a point where it lost a little bit less than half its value from peak to trough, but held on to the vast majority of the gains from the previous bull market. And it's when the dollar rolls over that gold will really shine. So we then should really keep an eye on the dollar index. And the dollar index is currently around 106, and it's bounced from the 105 level and held onto most of its consistency. So the gold price was a bit steadier in here today, and the dollar was a little weaker. And there's been a lockstep correlation between gold and the dollar for the last 6 weeks. So it's when the dollar breaks down that gold is likely to then start to attract a lot more attention. But we're not quite there yet. And gold prices continue to hold here below the $1,800 level. If, and I guess it's more a question of when, the dollar eventually rolls over, then gold is probably going to fulfill a lot of the potential that everyone who had a long position at least was hoping that it would fulfill back in February. And I think with that, I'll leave it for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.